Good morning. This is July 25th of 2021. We are studying a lot of material. We're looking at the book A Parenthesis in Eternity by Joel Goldsmith, and we are looking at the book in the Bible by John, and we're going to look at Beyond Words and Thoughts by Joel. And we're going to look at some of the early years, something from the early years, and also something from my journal. And I want to start you out with this. My wife, Madeline, which some of you have met, has never read an Infinite Way book. Not one. Well, she's read parts of one. And she's never read any of my books, although she's read parts of one. But she's on this path. How do I know? Listen to this. She told it to me the other day, and I thought it was the most beautiful thing I've heard this year. And pure truth. She knows about living in the fourth dimension because she's there. She said, when you align your will with God's will for you, you can see into the invisible. Did you hear that? Do you believe it? When you align your will with God's will for you, you can see into the invisible. I give that with you, for you, so that you may meditate on that this week. Let's see, when I align my will with God's will for me, I can see into the invisible. That's just fabulous. I'm telling you, that's Madeline, that is fabulous. And I told her it was, and I told her I was going to give her the credit. It's awesome. Okay, so let's jump into some more of this chapter, The Meaning of Initiation, which is chapter 20. We left off last week by saying, many do not realize that the my own, which shall come to me, referred to by John Burroughs, is contingent upon an attained state of consciousness, which is absolute stillness and peace. When that is attained, all a person has to do is to be a beholder and watch the whole world come to him. My own will not come to a human being. It will not come except by being still and knowing that I is God, and then letting the awareness that the I of our being is omnipotence, omnipresence, and omniscience perform its work. This can be attained only in the degree that each one of us realizes that I am I, that I am consciousness. So, my own will not come onto a human being, and that makes sense because the human being is the one that has the pairs of opposites. He's not looking into the invisible. He's looking at a very visible, conceptual world. A series of universal concepts. Some good, some bad. And it swings back and forth. And so the human doesn't have a my own. He may attain $1 million, may win the lottery, and within 6 months be broke. It's the nature of this world to be the pairs of opposites. And so the human being doesn't have a my own. Well, he may have a my own of, oh, let's say, $600,000 saved up in a mutual fund through his employment, and then discover when he's 1 year from retirement that the corporation that was employing him goes belly up and is bankrupt. And all the money saved in the mutual funds is gone. And so my own, which that human being had, has disappeared. Now that can't happen when you have the realization within that I am consciousness, and my own comes to consciousness, and my own is infinite supply, omnipresent comforter, and eternal life. And that my own will come to that consciousness. And you don't have to flap your arms. You don't have to work that hard. You have to enter the stillness, as he says here, a state of consciousness which is absolute stillness and peace. In that state of consciousness, my own flows forth from that consciousness and appears as every perfect gift and flows back to that consciousness. So, initiation is dying to that personal sense of supply, which can disappear, evaporate, dissolve, and turn into sand in your hands. It's dying to that and awakening to a Christ sense of supply. It's dying to the personal sense that sees a spouse or a partner that can cheat on you, that loves you today and is filing for divorce tomorrow. It's dying to that sense of companionship. It has to go. And coming into the sense of a spiritual sense of companionship, which is the comforter, omnipresence in everyone and everything. Omnipresence. It's dying to a personal sense of life which can be snuffed out by a bullet or by a pandemic, and coming into the Christ sense of self, Christ sense of life, which is eternal, never ending, which can lay down the life or pick it up again, which can walk in and out of the invisible. And so, initiation is the dying that we go through before we awaken to Christhood, to ourselves as Christ consciousness. And so, Joel says, to be still and know that I am God makes way for a divine presence to go out before us, prepare mansions for us, and draw onto us our own. But what it draws is its own. And so it draws it its own, which is infinite, omnipresent, and eternal, everlasting. Now, he says, very few initiates succumb to the temptations and fall by the wayside. after a certain point in their development. But up to that point, up to that time, even though the teacher knows that the aspirant is ready, the aspirant does not always fulfill that readiness, largely because personal sense is still in the saddle. Well, we've got a new puppy, and he has a definite personal sense of dog. So I had to just let him out, and that involves walking downstairs, walking through the house, walking to the back door, letting him out, and on a leash, and then bring him back in and telling him to settle down, and then coming back upstairs to talk to you. Okay. Someone abandoned the dog, and we found the dog and brought it in yesterday. Alright, so we are going to continue here. He says, the student doesn't always fulfill that readiness because personal sense is still in the saddle. As long as there is any personal sense of self, we try to protect it. And whenever anything seems to threaten it, we rise up to do battle. Such a reaction may cause us to fall by the wayside, because on the spiritual path we are not permitted to take up the sword. And you can be tempted, as I was tempted, when there was a huge organization that had a monopoly on mental health in the state of North Carolina. And it wasn't a battle that I chose, or that Madeline, my wife, chose. It was something that nobody else would do because they were frightened. And so we stood up to them and we reported some things that were going on. And the state came in and broke them up into smaller entities so that they couldn't have a monopoly. And they let other mental health organizations into the state. And, but there was a point during all that when I really did want to take up the sword. And I really had to pray to put that away, you know. Alright, so I was able to do that and to forgive them, and they're no longer in existence, and we're still here. So it must have been what we were supposed to do. Now, he says, the fabric of every temptation that assails us consists of some form of personal sense. All right, let's say you have the temptation to believe that you're ill. Well, that's the temptation to believe in a personal sense, a personal self that can be ill. What if your temptation is to believe that you're lacking? You have all kinds of talents, but nobody's paying you for those talents. Well, that again is a person. A person has those talents. And if that person can step aside and recognize that it is a state of consciousness that has those talents, not a person, then that consciousness can be permitted to flow forth. And my own shall come onto that state of consciousness. You see? So, what about the person that's lonely? I'm so lonely, and every time I get somebody, it turns out to be another jerk. I hear that. I'm sure you do, too. Well, that's because you're trying to get a person, a personal sense of self that matches with your personal sense of self. You don't want any of that. Throw all of that away. Turn within to consciousness. What does consciousness have? What is consciousness expressed? He says it is only with the final illumination, that final experience of God incarnating as individual man, a revelation that has come to so few people in all the world, that personal sense is dead. At this stage of unfoldment, there is none of the human self left. Okay, so at that stage of unfoldment, the only my own that can come is an incorporeal sense of supply, an incorporeal sense of companionship, and an incorporeal sense of self, of life. But students on the path have not attained that final revelation of God incarnated as the self. The revelation that enabled the Master to say, "He that seeth me, seeth him that sent me." How few there are who can make that statement. You are looking at God. And until they can do that, there is some measure of personal sense remaining that could cause them to fall. After that, when all personal sense has been eliminated, when there is no I, me, or mine, there is only God. There is only the light self, the light itself. And this is self-supporting, self-maintaining, and self-sustaining, needing no help from any human source. Okay. So, I think we'll read over to the next page here. The final step for every initiate is the command to die. No one attains the heights until he reaches a complete surrender of self, a willingness to give up the human sense of self, give it up completely, and if necessary, jump off the cliff into the ocean, to swim out to sea, to keep swimming and never turn back, to do what the Master commanded, lose his life, die to his human sense of life. And in the margin there, I wrote one question: are you ready? Now, Joel is not advocating that we all jump into the ocean and commit suicide. Please don't hear that. We are talking about jumping into the ocean of consciousness and swimming and never turning back to a personal sense of self, to a personal mind, a personal body, a personal world. And so he says, this death of the self is exemplified in the Master's experience by the crucifixion, the resurrection, and the ascension above all personal selfhood. Crucifixion can be an actual physical crucifixion, and resurrection can be an actual resurrection from the grave, but not necessarily so. They may be symbolic to show the death of the self and the raising up of the divine self, which we are, out of the dust of the corpse, out of the tomb. In other words, the crucifixion, which is the death or the crossing out of the self, may come in any dark night of the soul, when the last trace of selfhood is being swallowed up, and there is nothing left but the light of the divine selfhood. No vestige left of any I, me, or mine, just the I that is the I of us. Now, whether during this particular lifetime on earth or in another, the day must come when we die. Not in the sense of a physical death, but a death to all human sense. All right, so we are seeing, hopefully you see by now, that initiation can come in one cataclysmic experience, such as Paul showed us, or Saul, on the road to wherever he was going, on the road to Damascus, or wherever he was going, when he lost his sight. He lost his sight completely to this world. But he gained the ability to look into the invisible. He finally let go and aligned his will with God's will for him. And he was able to look into the invisible and listen into the invisible and to hear the voice say, "Paul, why are you doing this to me?" Which just knocked his socks off. I mean, it rocked his world. That was his initiation. It was in one big experience. But I'm not so sure that's true. He was always interested in truth. And he studied. Was it Gamaliel? Somebody that was his teacher. And so he studied. And I'm sure he had some other dark nights of the soul where he questioned, "What am I doing? Why am I doing this? Killing Christians, helping to stamp them out." What about the Buddha? He sat under the Bodhi tree. He was very, very discouraged. He too had been to many teachers, and he learned to fast to the point of starvation, really. And he learned to do this and that. And he said always, always the self would return, come back. So he sat under that Bodhi tree, remember? He must have had a lot of dark nights of the soul, though. "Gosh, I've tried this for all these years with this teacher, and I'm getting nowhere. Still, I have this false sense of self." But when he sat under the tree in total desperation, he said within himself, he turned to consciousness and said, "I'm not moving until I know the answer." And he stopped. He found that stillness and peace that Joel was speaking of. And in that stillness, my own came to me. Consciousness drew realization to him. And he had that cataclysmic experience, realization. "I see now, it's Maya. I don't have a false sense of self. That's what Joel told me. You haven't got one. Here I am working to try to get rid of it. And in reality, I don't have one. No one has one. But that's for another class. Right now we're talking about dying to that personal sense of self." I want you to hear something that I read 2 days ago. It's out of the book, The Early Years. Joel says, "While sitting in meditation, it happened to me. For so long I had been living in two worlds, in two states of consciousness." Now, of course, we understand he's talking about living in two senses of self. He's talking about living in two states of consciousness, a personal sense of self, a personal consciousness, and the infinite invisible consciousness. He says, "For so long I had been living in two worlds, in two states of consciousness. It was a divided existence, sometimes out there in reality, sometimes of the earth, earthy, you see, those are the two selves. But that day, in meditation, there came a transition, a complete movement into reality, a place in consciousness behind the world of effect. From it, I looked onto the world as it appears, somewhat like seeing a stage from behind the scenes. At that moment, the detachment from this world was complete. That sure sounds like I have overcome the world, doesn't it? All right, so we are all familiar. Let's see. We're all familiar with Jesus' initiation, but let's look at it again. And we're also going to look at Joel's initiation. This is the book Beyond Words and Thoughts, and it is chapter 4, Truth Unveiled. And here he says, again, what he said in the other book. Always, since my first spiritual experience, living in two worlds has been difficult for me. Living in that higher consciousness, and then coming down to earth, going back into that consciousness, and coming back down to earth, but never was it as difficult as in 1963. Okay, so in 1963, Joel was going through the final initiation. He says, that year marked another period of initiation for me. But even though in 1962 I knew it was to be, I had no knowledge of its intensity, its length, or the nature of the message that would be revealed. With each successive unfoldment, something was breaking through, leading to the teaching of going beyond words and thoughts, of going beyond the mind. This idea you will find in all of the 1963 work. Remember, he passed on in 1964, about 6 months from when he's telling us this. Revealing the nature of life as it is lived when you go beyond the mind and beyond thoughts, beyond taking thought, beyond reasoning. This is the revelation of the nature of Sabbath and grace. In the infinite way, we are unseeing and unknowing the corporeal or physical sense of man. See? Personal sense. We are unseeing and unknowing it, whether in ourselves or in another. Well or sick, rich or poor, good or bad, we are not unseeing or unknowing a corporeal man or a physical man, for there is none. Now, Joel just told you that there is no physical person. You haven't got one. So we are not unseeing and unknowing a corporeal physical man. There is none. But we are unknowing or unseeing the corporeal or physical sense of man. The corporeal sense is the tempter. The healing truth is our consciousness of incorporeal man and universe. Okay? This is all connected to initiation. And I'm just going to read it like it is. On the mount, in a high state of consciousness, Moses realized, I am. and thereby became I Am. Yet there remained still a personal sense of Moses, as is evidenced by the fact that he spoke of himself as being slow of speech. The realization of I Am prevailed, however, and with that great illumination came such a height of consciousness that he was able to lead the Hebrews out of slavery to the Promised Land. Okay? So you can see part of Moses' initiation, can't you? And remember, it started with a painful experience when he watched the Egyptian kill one of the slaves. There was so much pain that he killed the Egyptian and headed out to the desert. But there he turned within and had that realization. I am that I am. That's what I am. Jesus, however, not only knew the truth, but realized and became the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nevertheless, a sense of Jesus remained, because he said, I can of mine own self do nothing. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. This personal sense of self had to be crucified, as eventually it must be in all of us, or we will not ascend to the Promised Land, the realization of our spiritual identity. Jesus' realization of the need to crucify or rise above the seeming mortal sense of self enabled him to make the ascension. This is a line you need to circle and highlight and put a star next to and an arrow, because the ascension is when we ascend out of a personal sense of self. And so he says, the ascension is always the same, a rising above mind, above knowing the truth, to truth itself. All right, now let's look at Jesus Christ's initiation. Joel says, and this was 1963, in many classes, and even in some of the writings, I have said that I did not understand the reason for the crucifixion of Jesus. Why it took place, or why it had to take place, if it had to. It puzzled me, and I have frankly admitted this. It was not until the year 1963, listen, when I myself went through the experience, that the reason and need for the crucifixion of Christ Jesus was revealed to me. Somehow, after that experience, the memory of it passed from me, and I could not bring it to conscious recollection, until later the entire scene was revealed to me again, when I went through the experience of ascension, that rising above mind to truth itself. Okay, so here is a man like you or like me, a person, let's say, that flatly declares he went through the crucifixion, the resurrection, and the ascension. And then he tells you what it is. It's an ascension above that personal mind of yours, above personal thoughts, into a state of consciousness that is so still, so silent, so stopped, that it can be an instrument for my thoughts, for God thought, for Christ to function. He says he had the experience of ascension, that rising above mind to truth itself. This is what I saw in Jesus' statement, "He that seeth me seeth him that sent me." He revealed that he had attained the goal of I am. I am the way. Thou seest me, thou seest God, for I and God are one. And there is an experience in which he proved this. He took three disciples to what is called the Mount of Transfiguration, which again is high consciousness, and he revealed to them the Hebrew prophets who were supposed to be dead. But to his enlightened sense, they were not dead. And he proved to his disciples that they were alive, and that they were with them, there, in form. Now, whether he translated them into visible form, or whether he translated himself and the disciples into invisible form, makes no difference, because it is the same experience. He translated. He demonstrated to his disciples the truth he later proved. I lay down my life that I might take it again. I can walk into the invisible realm and I can walk out again. For I am spirit. I am the way. Because of Jesus' experience on the Mount of Transfiguration, I understand now that crucifixion was not necessary for him, and he could have avoided it. Enoch was translated without knowing death. Elijah was translated without knowing death. Isaiah also may have been translated. Therefore, it was shown to me that through Jesus' experience on the Mount of Transfiguration, he could have been translated without knowing death. But when he became aware of the betrayal, the trial, and the threatened crucifixion, he chose to accept corporeal death in order to reveal to the disciples that death is not an experience. It's an illusory sense that must be understood and seen through. By permitting himself to experience corporeal death, Jesus revealed that there is no death, and he revealed himself in what appeared to be the same corporeal form. Then, having served this purpose with no other function here on earth, his continued presence would have been an embarrassment. Jesus ascended out of corporeal form. He was translated. This can be interpreted to mean he rose beyond the mind. He rose above his own mind, because it's only in the mind that corporeal sense can be entertained. In our soul faculties, we are spirit, and we see each other spiritually, whether we are here on this plane, or whether we are looking at those who have gone to another plane, or to those who are not yet born. This revelation is the proof of the message that there must come a rest to my people. There must come a Sabbath. All right, what are we looking at? We're looking at Jesus Christ's initiation. He was crucified, resurrected out of the tomb of human sense, and ascended up over that mind. The mind that was knowing the truth intellectually. Yes, I and the Father are one. Ascending up over those thoughts into the actual experience of I am-ness. I am the way. I am the bread. I am the wine. I will never leave you. And you and I are called to follow the Master. If there is a Master, that would be the Master. And it's not Jesus the man. It's Christ the Master. So, we have seen and we are looking at Joel's initiation. He flatly says, I went through crucifixion, resurrection, and later ascension. That rising above mind to truth itself. So Joel is saying that he had been knowing truth for a number of years with his mind. And he had been getting glimpses, remember? He had been going up to the higher consciousness and coming down, going up and coming down, going up and coming down. And finally, he went through the experience since 1963 of crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension up over his mind. He no longer knew the truth. He was the truth. Which is why in one of his last classes in England in 64, he said, I will always be with my serious students. And I can tell you that he's been with me. Now, let us look at, I want to look some more at that, because the Sabbath is, see, what happens is we're working, well, I'm going to find it in his words. Hang on a minute. It's in this chapter here. All right. You students who are ready for the Sabbath. Now, he might have said that another way. He could have said, you students who are ready for initiation must prepare for it by learning to rest back in this realization. Let my soul take over instead of my mind. In the consciousness of Sabbath. Now, if you are in that place where you are using affirmations and denials, that's a step toward what we're talking about here. In the Kailua study series, he tried to lift all of the students up above knowing the truth to truth itself. And he said, this is going to be really difficult. You may have a battle with me, you may have a battle with the infinite way, but you're going to have to go through it in order to come to that state of Sabbath, where you turn within and you're completely still, resting in the bosom of the Father, or resting on the Sea of Spirit, or resting in infinite consciousness. But it's a conscious awareness, it's not thoughts. In the consciousness of Sabbath, you need not go out and get meat, for you already have it. By what right? By your recognition that you and the Father are one. Now listen up. For 6 days you have labored to study and to train yourself. And those 6 days, remember, are for most of you, many, many years. I just told you last week, it's 50 years for me before I finally came to see, right around 45 years or 40 years, that, oh my God, I've got to go beyond everything I thought I knew into the state of silence. My first teacher, Don, said, you will reach the point where you come to the edge of a cliff, and you'll close your eyes, and that inner voice will say, now walk. And you will take a step, and another, and you'll discover that underneath are the everlasting arms. That's one of the last things he ever said to me. Man, I love you, Don. So, he was telling me that I, too, would come to this initiation, this point of having no self there with me, no personal self, whether in meditation or with eyes open. The day must come where you walk, not in a personal sense of self, but in the capital S self of consciousness. So he says, in the consciousness of Sabbath, you already have meat. For 6 days you have labored to study and train yourself, yes, and read all the books and listened to all the talks. And those 6 days, remember, are for most of you many, many years. But there comes a rest to my people. There comes a Sabbath. And that is when you stop all your metaphysical struggling. You relax and let grace live your life. When you come to the 6th day of your practice, just smile. I do not have to pray for anything. I don't have to work that hard. I already have hidden manna the world knows not of. Do you see how the teaching in the Bible is veiled, and how it takes a transcendental consciousness to unveil it? The mystics did not hide it. Words hide it. Those few students who have been listening and studying with the inner ear must now be entering that period of Sabbath when they can feel within themselves, I do not know any truth. I cannot live on quotations. The only truth I know is what is coming through now. As far as I am concerned, I am living in the period of unknowing, in which every day I go within to receive the manna for that day, to listen for thy voice. A person who is in the Sabbath consciousness realizes, thy grace is my sufficiency for this moment. So he says here, the infinite way takes you through the 6 days of labor, or the initiation. Takes you through the 6 days of labor, the thinking and knowing of the truth, the searching for truth, pondering truth, meditating on truth, until you go beyond the activity of the mind or intellect. Finally, you come to a place where you can rest in quietness and in confidence, because you are now no longer living your own life. Every word that flows from God into your awareness becomes the bread, the wine, the water. It becomes your health, strength, vitality, and all those things that are necessary for your experience. So we see that the meaning of initiation is for you to ascend up over the mind into a state of consciousness which is absolutely still and stopped. And in that consciousness, you rest on that sea of consciousness, of spirit, and you are fed from within. And the words that you hear from within appears out here as your life, and you say, wow, oh wow, look at that. You are beholding, you are bearing witness. Wow, thank you, Father. I didn't even know I needed that, and it came right at the right moment. Thank you, God. Consciousness is forming itself. Now you can look and say, ah, I live, yet not I. Christ liveth my life. Okay, we're going to look at a brief part of the Bible. I don't want to go into it too much because we're going to look at it next week when we finish this talk on initiation, and we look at Mary's initiation. Okay. All right, so in chapter 16, he said, Jesus Christ said, I have overcome the world. And in chapter 17, he said, and now I am no more in the world. So in chapter 18, a band of men approach him, and Jesus, knowing all things to come, says, whom seek ye? Now, we know here from reading that Christ Jesus had already overcome the world. He was no longer in the world. He was no longer in a personal sense of self. He was standing in the invisible, as the infinite, as consciousness, as spirit. And in the old days, they used to draw halos around people because there were some people that could see them. And I am sure that when Christ Jesus said, I have overcome the world and now I am no more in the world, that he gave off an aura, a halo, and it must have been shining very brightly. And so when the band of men came up to him, he said, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And he said, I am he. And as soon as he had said that, the band of men went backward and fell to the ground. Now you know they must have been seeing something really spiritual. So Jesus asked them again, whom seek ye? And again they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If ye therefore seek me, let these go their way. And of course, Peter pulled out a sword and cut off the servant's ear. And Jesus said, put up the sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? And in another place he said, those who live by the sword will die by the sword. And he put the ear back on and healed it. So he was telling Peter, if you live in a personal sense of self, that's what you're going to die in, is a personal sense of self. All right. Here he says, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. And hence I looked up that word. I always thought it meant, now is my kingdom not from here, but it doesn't. Hence means away. Get thee hence. Now is my kingdom not from away. My kingdom is right here. All right, so we know that they beat him with the whip. We know they put a crown of thorns on him. And we know that they nailed him to a cross through his legs and his arms, or hands rather. And we know that he was stabbed in the side. And all of that is graphic representation of killing the personal sense of self. All right? Until he said, it is finished. And when he said it was finished, they took the body of Jesus and wound it in linen. Nicodemus was there, who he said would have to die to self. and they put him in a tomb and put a stone in front of it. All right? Now, the next part, chapter 20, we're going to go into detail next week, because this is Mary's initiation. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away. Alright, so I looked up that first day. You know what the first day is? We have it here. Chapter 1, Genesis. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved over the face of the waters. And God said, Let there be light. And there was light. So the first day is when God created light. Actually, he didn't create it, he spoke it into existence. And so the first day, the day of light, Mary comes to the tomb where Christ is buried. See, she's going to have her initiation. It's the day of light for her. And so we'll go into that next week. And we'll wrap this up. Again, it says here, when you align your will with God's will for you, you can see into the invisible. Now, aligning your will with God's will for you would be dying to a personal sense of self, wouldn't it? Yes, it would. And when you align that up and God's will becomes your will, you have died. And you are standing within, looking within, looking into the invisible. And you see that movement that he described in Genesis. You see the movement of the Spirit on the face of the deep. And you may hear a word. You may just get a feeling that of that omnipresence. Sometimes you can feel an atmosphere. You open your eyes after meditation and you can feel an atmosphere. I called Herb about that one time and he said yes. And then he said, I'm probably not supposed to tell you, but here's what comes next. And I'm not telling you. All right, so we, all of us, are facing, we are either in the middle of initiation, we are facing it, we are becoming aware of it, that we're coming up to it, or it's something that won't happen for a year or two or five or ten. But if it is happening to you, as we said last week, don't be afraid of it. If you let go, it'll go a lot quicker. Let go. Be still. Let go and know. I, within you, I am the way. I will not leave you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. That's the promise. As Christ Jesus completed his initiation, he said to Mary, Touch me not, for I have to ascend. I have to ascend up over the mind to become the truth. And then I can send you the Comforter, which will teach you all things. I can send you the Spirit of God, which I am. I am in He is in me, you are in us, We are in you, and I am the way. I feel like we need a meditation. Let's have one. Close your eyes. What are you giving up? Are you giving up a real person? No. You're giving up a series of concepts. Concepts. There are no life in concepts. You've heard Herb say it, and you've probably wondered about it. What does he mean, there's no life in this human image? Well, you're about to find out. As you lay it down, figuratively, not physically, because if you tried to lay down your life physically, you'd still be trapped in the same physical impression. So no, you lay it down spiritually. You step out of it. Father, I am here. Ever one with you. As Joel says, as a wave is one with the ocean, so am I one with God. As the sunbeam is one with the sun, so am I one with God. All that the Father has is mine, infinite, omnipresent, eternal, everlasting. All that God is, I am. And I am here. I have come that you might have life, life infinitely. Stand still and see into the invisible. I am here. And let the eye go before you. And let the eye stay behind you. And let the eye dwell within you. And you abide in the eye. And then there is one presence, and I am that. Thank you.